Well, you can take your Bibles tonight, and we're going to start in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1. And it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it." So they were to take the blood and put it around the door, the frame of the door. And verse 8, "They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's what? Passover." Passover. Verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Right, so this was the instruction that God gave his people for Passover. And it's called Passover because they would be passed over if they had the blood on the doorposts on the outside of the house. And there were two parts to this instruction, right? The blood and the flesh of the lamb, right? And we can see here that the blood saved the lives of the firstborn, right? It was to save their lives, that they would be passed over and would not be smitten. Go to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. God also instructed them to eat of the flesh, to roast it with fire and eat it. Psalm 105, verse 36, it says, "He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength." Right, so this is referring, again, back to that record in Exodus. Right, so that was the final plague of the plagues that God had brought upon the land of Egypt. And it was the catalyst for Pharaoh to allow the children of Israel to go. So the children of Israel were set free from slavery, and they left. And it says in verse 37, "He brought them forth also with silver and gold," because when they left, the Egyptians like saddled them up with a bunch of riches and were like, "Just please go." So they left with silver and gold. And it says in the latter part of the verse, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Right? And so God's purpose in the eating of the Passover lamb was for their physical wholeness. Right? The blood saved the lives of those firstborns, and the eating of the Passover, the flesh, was for their physical wholeness. Right? They were able to leave the bondage of the Egyptians with their material needs met, number one, because they left with the silver and the gold and the riches, and with complete physical wholeness, right? With complete physical wholeness, so that they would be completely whole and prepared for the journey ahead of them. And, you know, they were just God's peculiar people, as it were, right? What would God do? Would God do anything less for his kids, right? Would God do anything less for you and us? No. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So we go over that background in the Old Testament and what Passover means, because it pertains to what Jesus Christ accomplished for us and the communion service that we have tonight. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Right? So here in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, it says that Jesus Christ is our Passover. He was sacrificed for us. So just like they had to sacrifice a lamb for their Passover, Jesus Christ was our Passover lamb, as it were, figuratively, sacrificed for us. Go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. There's a lot of cool stuff in the Word that deals with, you know, how Jesus Christ was our Passover, right? That he was without spot and blemish, right? He was without sin. He was the firstborn. Was, you know, God did all kinds of cool stuff. But Psalm 103, verse 1, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy what? Diseases. Right? And this is our God. Right? Ever since the fall of mankind, we've always needed deliverance. And we've needed deliverance from sin, and we've needed physical wholeness and deliverance. Right? And God talks about those being some of the benefits of God our Father. He forgives our iniquities, and he heals our diseases. Right? One is removed by the blood of the Lamb, and the other by the flesh of the Lamb. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. So Jesus Christ was our Passover, sacrificed for us. And it says in 1 Peter 2:21, it says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree. Right? So when Jesus Christ was sacrificed for us, when he gave his life for us, he bare our sins. Right? In giving his life, he bore our sins. and who own self bore sins on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. Right? That we would be righteous because of what he accomplished and what he gave. And then it says in the latter part, by whose stripes you were healed. Right? So our righteousness, our freedom from sin, is because Christ gave his life for us and was raised again. And by his stripes, the physical stuff that he endured the day he was crucified, by his stripes we were healed. And it's in past tense, we were healed, meaning it's already been made available for us to claim. Right? That healing wholeness is already available for us to claim. God wishes above all things that we may prosper in what? Be in health. Right? That's God's desire. It's just like the children of Israel the day they left, that they would be healthy, that they would be whole, and that their lives would be saved. And our lives have been saved. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for he has made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Right? What love that God had for us. What love that God had for his kids. That we would be made as righteous as God himself. Right? As righteous as it gets. Right? There, God does not look at us and see any amount of sin at all. He sees us as perfect. He sees us as his kids. Right? That's the love that God had for us. And Jesus Christ gave his life so that we could have that righteousness. Right? So that our lives could be saved. Right? That sin is paid for. And that we have eternal life as believers. Go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 26. And this is the record of the Last Supper. Jesus Christ was speaking to his disciples, and he said, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. So he likened the bread to Jesus Christ's own body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood in the New Testament, or New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, right? And so he likened the cup to his shed blood, which would be for the remission of sins. Right? So that's what he represented those items to them in the Last Supper, right? When he knew that he was going to be crucified the next day, he told them to eat of the bread, that would be his body, and that they were to drink of the cup, and that it represented his shed blood for their remission of sins. And that bread was his flesh, right? His broken body that was for their physical wholeness, as it said in 1 Peter, right? By his stripes we were healed. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So Jesus Christ gave his life so that we could have life more abundantly, right? And our life is super abundant because we're born again. We have Holy Spirit, right? God doesn't see us as sinners any longer. We're righteous. And we've got eternal life coming. And Jesus Christ also made it available for us to have that physical wholeness so that we can enjoy this life. That doesn't mean we never get sick or nothing bad ever happens. And you're not a bad believer if you're not feeling well. But God has made it available for us to claim that healing wholeness, right? So that we can live lives that are more than abundant. in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Right, so this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians and recounting what had happened that night. Right, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. God showed him this. Was Paul there at the Last Supper? No, but God showed him. "I have received of the Lord that which I deliver unto you, that Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." Right? And the purpose of that was for your healing and your deliverance. "This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Right? So Jesus Christ paid the price for our physical wholeness and for our spiritual wholeness, the two parts. Right? Just as it was on the Passover thousands of years ago. And we eat and we drink every day, which is really cool, right? That's something that we need to do all the time. I can't go a day without doing either of those things. So we can be constantly reminded of what Christ accomplished for us, right? Jesus Christ said, as oft as you do this, remember me, right? So every time we eat or drink, we can remember that we're righteous. We can remember that God wants to see us healed and whole, right? That we have physical deliverance available to us, right? And that we have that righteousness available as his sons and his daughters. Go to John 3:16. John, the Gospel of John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Right? God so loved all of us and the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son so that we could have life, and so that we could have a life that's everlasting and a life that's more than abundant. So let's remember what Jesus Christ accomplished for us and what God's made available through his sacrifice for us, and just be so super thankful that we get to live more abundant lives.